We say, made us one. Thank you, Jesus. Today, this message, I believe, is the antidote for our situation. So I want you to pay close attention, because I believe that unity is the secret to blessing. As Psalms 133 says, in unity, the Lord commands a blessing. So I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to read this together, God's Word. This is Psalms 133, and we're going to see what the Lord wants to do as we approach 2020. And as you know, in order to have 2020 vision, the right has to cooperate with the left, and the left has to cooperate with the right eye, right? That's the only way we're going to have unity, if we figure out a way to get along. Would you join me as we read God's Word, Psalms 133?
Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore.
All three verses, there it is. Let's all be seated. May God add his blessing. And Val, I'm going to ask you to go back to the first verse. If you are familiar with these two analogies, if you've studied the anointing oil, there was actually a recipe that was given. And as this was a forbidden recipe for any perfumer to use. Only this recipe could be used for the high priest. And as these ingredients came together, as the individual olives gave up their lives and were squeezed to make the base for this amazing perfume, it was anointed on the high priest. In the days of Moses, his brother Aaron, we have the Aaronic priesthood. Aaron received that anointing oil. And it's this picture of it running down on his beard, the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. And so this is a picture of unity bringing spiritual connection to God. Everybody say, unity causes spiritual connection to God.
Unity causes spiritual connection.
Now let's go to the next analogy in verse 3. It's also like the dew of Mount Hermon. Now, in the northern parts of Israel, there was a place called, they were the mountains where the cedars of Lebanon, it was called Lebanon. And Lebanon means white. So think of the White Sierra Mountains in northern Israel. They named them white or Lebanon. And the cedars of Lebanon, like the redwoods of the Mendocino Coast, brought down to the coast, shipped out around the world. And I grew up in a redwood home, tongue and groove, in Kailua, Oahu. It's like, and Mount Hermon is the highest peak in this Lebanon range. It's like the dew of Hermon. It's also the source of the beginning of the Jordan River, descending upon the mountains. Now, in order for you to have dew, what do the water droplets have to do? They have to get together, they have to coagulate, and they have to land and water the earth. And so, in the first picture of the spiritual anointing oil, we have the spiritual connection between heaven and earth. And in the second picture, the dew droplets joining together and watering the earth. As the water comes down from heaven, Isaiah says, and waters the earth, so my word goes forth. And this brings the unity that blesses the earth. Everybody say, the unity that blesses the earth.
The unity that blesses the earth.
Okay. Now, how do we get unity? This is going to be a test. River, this is going to be a test. You're going to be tested on this. Okay? Okay, so now The blessings of unity is the secret to blessing. And the power of unity brings blessing. But its opposite is, what's the opposite of unity?
Disunity,
thank you. What's another word for disunity? Division. Now, I wrote about 5 years ago, I felt as the Lord touched me and said, Greg, you can reach the world from your personal computer. And so I started posting things online. And this is one of the things that I posted. And this is what I posted. Differences are important. Now, in 1 Corinthians 11:19, Paul says to the people, they're important that there be differences among you, so that those who are approved among you may be made manifest. In the New King James, for there must be factions among you, so that those who are approved may be recognized among you. We're going to have differences, okay? Some of the differences will be honored by God. Those that take another path, they may not have the blessing of God. And so it'll become obvious who's right and who's wrong. And I work really hard at being right. I remember once I thought I was wrong, but then I realized I was wrong about being wrong. No, just kidding. I've been wrong many times. And, when we're wrong and we disagree, then those differences are okay? Because God wants to manifest who is approved. But differences, think about the differences. We have those who drink wine. We have wine bibbers. We have teetotalers. Okay, we have people who eat meat and we have the vegans. Okay, we have people who celebrate on the Lord's Day on Sabbath, Saturday, and then we have those who celebrate the Lord's Day on Sunday. Now, are we going to tell these people that they're wrong and these people, are we going to shoot missiles back and forth? I don't think we should, okay? Right there. Okay, these differences, these factions are okay. We shouldn't destroy one another over our differences, right? But, watch this verse. This is 1 Corinthians, same book, chapter 1, verse 10. Now I plead with you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Yeah. What happens to, Jesus said, a house divided against itself will not stand. Matthew 12:25. Every kingdom divided against itself. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, what was the context here? They were accusing Jesus of casting out demons by the power of the devil, Satan, Beelzebub. And Jesus is going, you guys aren't even making sense. That's a contradiction of terms, because the devil's not going to cast out the devil. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to destruction. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Folks, we are on a collision course in this nation. We are on a collision course. If we don't solve this division, we're going down. That's too high a price to pay. We've lost too many marriages. We've lost too many young people. I want to talk about division in our homes. I want to go to Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. This is the unity that God puts between a man and a woman, a husband and wife, in the context of marriage, is for a specific purpose. It goes all the way back to that ancient prophecy in Genesis 3:15 that says, I will put enmity between your seed and the seed of the serpent, and the seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's head. So, marriage is the workshop and it's the place where the seed is going to destroy the serpent. Why did he not make them one, husband and wife, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why did he make them one? Because he's seeking the godly offspring. Because what is the godly offspring going to do? It's going to bruise the head of the serpent. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let no one deal treacherously with their spouse, with the wife of their youth. Wow. Wow. We live in a divorce culture. It's a division culture. We live in a divided society. Now, we have a nation divided against itself. California is divided against itself. The church is divided against itself. However, the church on the coast is united. I want to hear an amen.
Amen.
And I want to give you three reasons. I'm going to give you a historical recap of what happened the last several years. The first thing we did was we read a book by Gaylord Inns called The Love Revolution. Gaylord is a pastor in Chico. He's a pastor to pastors. He's retired. And his life and marriage were his health and his marriage were on a collision course. And he actually crashed and burned. And he started reading the Bible and he discovered this forgotten gem in John 13:34, where Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, said, I give you for this new covenant, I'm going to give you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Everybody say, love one another, as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? He died. Okay, we lay down our lives for one another, right? Okay, this is the insight. We hosted Gaylord Inns. I think we had every church and ministry on the coast in the building at some point. And the profound thing that he said was this, that when you put the new commandment back on the table, then our differences don't matter. We're just different. And that's okay. How many of you would go to a zoo that just had elephants? No. We love going to a zoo where there's giraffes and there's monkeys and there's, you know, yeah. All those different animals, right? Vive la différence. Everybody say French. Vive la différence, right? Let the differences live. Okay. So we decided that it was more important for us to obey Jesus' new top commandment than to have our own way. Right? Come on. So we're going to love one another, even though I disagree. I don't like what they're doing, and I don't like what they're doing, and I don't like what they're saying, but guess what? I love them. Right? Okay. The second thing that happened was we invited Steve and Becky Deal of Forgiveness Ministries to come to the coast, and they did a seminar for us. And we learned, you guys remember that little coin? There's two sides to the coin, and there's two sides to forgiveness. The top side is personal forgiveness, when Jesus said, paid in full, to tetelestai, it is finished. Every sin, past, present, and future, was paid for. And so forgiveness is automatic because we've been forgiven. We need to forgive one another. But there is a second side to that coin, and that is relational forgiveness. And as we discover from Luke 17, verses 3 through 4, we have a condition. The first one, personal forgiveness, is automatic. We forgive because we are forgiven. Everybody say that. I forgive because I'm forgiven. That's personal forgiveness. But relational forgiveness, look at this. Luke 17, verse 3. Let's go back to verse 3, previous verse. Take heed to yourself, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. What's the automatic thing in relational forgiveness? Hey, I really feel like you used me and abused me. Oh, I did this yesterday. I called up somebody and I said, you know, I'm offended. And I told him. And you know what? He apologized. And we're fine now. He apologized, and I forgave him. Now let's go to the next verse. How many times do I forgive him? And if he sins against you seven times in a day, he returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. What if he doesn't say, I repent? What do you do then? Well, it's obvious. You build a boundary. Boundaries are really, when that book Boundaries came out back in the 70s or the 80s, I thought, no, there's no way. We don't have boundaries in the body of Christ. You know, I'm gonna let people walk over me because I don't care. If I lay down my life at the threshold of heaven, people walk over me to get to heaven, that's worth it. But there are boundaries in Scripture, and I want to look at one. And 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says this. It says, if somebody is unruly, you should reprimand them. Now, what does it mean to be unruly? Somebody who's not obeying the rules. In other words, they're breaking boundaries. Now, we exhort you, brothers, to warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, but warn those who are unruly, are breaking the rules. Now, in Titus 3:10, we get strike three. Reject a divisive person after the first, repent. Second, you better repent. A third time, what do? Boundary, reject, strike three. Wait a minute. That's not Greg. You're quoting Paul. What about Jesus? Yeah, Jesus. Don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they turn and rend you. You know how you tell if somebody's swine? It's real simple. If it walks like a duck, quacks like the duck, and walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and looks like a duck, it's a swine! You can build a boundary. We started locking all our doors because the other night we were asleep and somebody broke into our garage, rifled through, ransacked our garage, and took a sleeping bag and our to-go bag, and ransacked our cars, got about $60 in cash. Well, guess what? We got a boundary now. We're locking our doors. We're locking, you know, I live in Fort Bragg. You know, this stuff doesn't happen here, does it? Yeah, no. We're locking our cars. We're locking our garage. We're locking our house. Why? Boundary, because somebody out there is not obeying the rules. Now, do I forgive that person? Yeah, if they repent and return my money. Right? Isn't that what we just read? Relational forgiveness. Now, ultimately, I forgive them. And I think I know who it is. Ultimately, I've got to forgive before God. But in relationships, you know what? That person's not welcome. Sorry. Am I wrong? I don't think so. Okay. If someone won't repent, you must forgive them, but that doesn't mean you have to restore them or that they can walk all over you. Restoration requires repentance. So, folks, we can walk away from unruly, abusive people. Jesus did. Remember the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Okay. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to give you a 7-level approach to unity and harmony. Now, Nathaniel, maybe you can help with this. We're going to try to get this up. So I started posting about 5 years ago. I started posting things on the web, on Facebook. And I've seen amazing results. What happens on Facebook, if you share something and somebody else shares it, then what you shared goes to their network, and then those people can share it, and it literally can go around the world. Isn't that amazing? And so this morning, I got up and I thought, you know what? I'm going to share this with the world, okay? Everybody say Merry Christmas. Okay. Number one. These are the 7 levels of unity and harmony from the highest to the lowest. So I think if you click on it, and then, click on it. See if it goes. We'll figure this out. But anyway, I've got my notes up there. So there's 7 levels of unity and harmony. Okay. Now, first level is the Latin word unanimity. Unanimity is the Latin word for one mind. Right? And that means, what that is we agree. Okay, I think we are all united here. Who's Lord? Jesus Christ is Lord. Are we all agreed? Raise your hand if you don't think Jesus Christ is the Lord. Okay, we are at level 1 in this church. We are united. That's great. Okay, now let's go to the 2nd level. So my wife and I are talking about a particular matter. We're talking about a particular matter, and she feels really strongly that we need to take a particular course of action. Now, I value the unity in my marriage, and so I am going to move to the 2nd level. We don't agree, but I am going to defer to her. Sometimes she will defer to me. Okay, defer means to yield to the strong desires of the other person. Right? Okay, how many of you have done that? You saw somebody going down the road and you yielded, you gave them the right of way, you didn't do road rage, you didn't pull out your gun, you didn't call 911, you know, you just deferred. Okay, this is fun. Thank you. Who did that? Nathaniel, you're hired. You are staying on the coast, right?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. For a while, okay. So, you see, deference is yielding to the strong desires of the other person. Well, what if you both have strong desires? What we do is we move to the third level, and that's compromise. Okay, we're going to come. I'll give you something on your list. You give me something on my list. We will compromise. We both get the thing that we want the most, but we have compromised. Okay? She likes chocolate. I like vanilla. So what do? We get Neapolitan. We compromise, right? Or what? We buy vanilla ice cream, and she gets to put on the... Yeah, that works. Okay, now we're moving down. This is the highest, and we're moving down to the lowest, okay? But you know what people do? They go to the lowest thing first. Yeah, bad. Okay, so what's next? Delay. You know, sometimes you just don't make a decision because guess what? Circumstances change. You pray about it. You wait. And all of a sudden, oh, there's a reason that we weren't united because the circumstances were going to change. And so now we have unanimity because we waited. And we didn't act selfishly or on our own. So you delay the decision. Moving down the ladder to the fifth is, okay, we got to call in for some outside help. Let's get a counselor. Let's get a mediator. Let's get a negotiator. And you move to engaging outside counsel. Now, is there anything wrong with getting counsel for your marriage? No. You do it for your finances? You should get outside counsel, right? Mediation, negotiation. What's six? Oh, number six is, okay, this is really getting hot and heavy, and it's getting scary, and so we're gonna do what David did in the presence of Saul. He fled. Okay, you flee, or you escape, or you leave. Okay? We leave because we didn't get our way. No. This is we're getting to one of the last resorts here. Okay? What's number seven? Number seven is consequences. Consequences is that's when you call 911. Okay? That's when you resort to these activities that are last on the list. For instance, Abraham and Lot decided that it was time to separate. They valued their family unity so much that Abraham deferred to Lot. He says, you take the best, I'll take the rest, and we'll just separate. You go down there. Lot ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah. This was, a different place. It ended up getting rained on by fire from heaven for their immorality, their fornication. But this is the last. How many of you are, what do you do with a Hitler, folks? You take him out. War. Is war wrong? No. Is war evil? Yes. Did God ever make war? Yes, he did. Is war always wrong? No. Can war be wrong? Yes. Is it destructive? Yes. Is it needful? How many of you are glad that Allied forces won World War II? How many of you are glad we're not speaking German today? And we're not all Nazis? Yes. Why? Because of a war. Yeah. Sometimes. Now, divorce would be in this list. Is divorce a sin? Don't say yes. Because if you say yes, then God's a sinner. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 1 and verse 8. Divorce and war are sometimes necessary evils to deal with an unsolvable situation. Sometimes war and divorce are necessary evils to deal with a difficult, unresolved situation. Let's see what Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8 says. And we can pull that up on the screen if you can. Let's go to the Bible here, Jeremiah chapter 3. Now, this is going to wreck some of your guys' theology, but that's okay. Because a lot of people believe divorce is always wrong. It's not always wrong. In fact, there's some situations. So here in Jeremiah chapter 3, it says, "They say, if a man divorces his wife, and she goes from him and becomes another man's, may he return to her again. Would not that land be greatly polluted? But you have played the harlot with many lovers. Return to me, says the Lord." Now, in verse 8 it says, "Then I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed," what was the verse 1 verb? Harlotry, adultery, "I put her away and I gave her a certificate of divorce." Whoa, wait. God divorced Israel? Yes, he did. He gave Israel a certificate of divorce. Because guess what? He could not, as a holy God, continue to associate with an unholy people that were running after other gods and polluting the land and destroying his name. So he divorced them. Everybody go, "Yay, God!" Yeah, sometimes divorce is the only solution. Now, watch what happens. Jesus raises the cup and he says, on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the cup and he said, "Yes, I divorced Israel many years ago, but I'm going to make a new covenant." Later on in Jeremiah it says, "The Lord will make a new covenant with the house of Israel." And he raises the cup and he says, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Your sins are forgiven. They are forgotten. Your harlotries and your adulteries and your fornication and all of that have been buried in the deepest part of the ocean. And I am going to take you back to myself and remarry you, and we're going to live forever, happily ever after." Let's all stand together.